Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Good morning.
Yeah, it is a good morning.
Yeah, it's a hot, you're going to be a hot one out there today?
No.
And right off the bat, I want to say happy birthday to my dear loved Luann.
Oh, happy birthday, Luann.
It's actually tomorrow, but we're going to start this morning, and we're going to start on the causeway at Ed's Seafood Shed.
Going to get you some breakfast on the bay. We did that last weekend, and, man, it was terrific.
I can't wait.
How are their pancakes?
Phenomenal.
I'm a kind of a pancake fan, and all you can get is Waffle Houses. Mostly.
Waffle House. They got pancakes?
They don't have pancakes.
Let me tell you
IHOP
what.
Has waffles, though.
I've
never had an IHOP waffle. I have been told they're better than Waffle House. But I always get pancakes.
Yeah. You can go to Bob's Downtown Diner on the corner of Fat and Happy and get pancakes. They sell pancakes.
It's part of the brunch.
And let me tell you what they got. They got the
breakfast. They're a breakfast place.
They got the Bailey special, which is a hand-cut ribeye with pancakes and other
with Irish cream poured on top.
Well, there is one with the Irish cream.
Well, you mentioned Bailey.
It's called the duck.
It's named after him.
It's called duck sauce after Ducky. So yeah, that's
okay.
They got some good stuff going on down there, which we'll talk about in a minute.
But, Dick Russell's has good pancakes too.
You know they do, and I love their smoked sausage.
And they're huge.
And if y'all ever get out to Sims, Hickory Pit, you would love that apple pie pancake. It's a pancake. About the size of a hubcap.
Mm-hmm.
Got plenty of cinnamon apples dumped into it. A little powdered
sugar.
Very good.
I wonder if you could. I wonder how a buttermilk pie would be on buttermilk pancakes.
Don't be stupid.
Kind of redundant.
With some buttermilk.
It would fall off.
With some buttermilk cornbread.
Yeah. But we go talk about some breakfast food we ate yesterday.
Okay.
You saw the check-in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Finally made it to Cereal Killer. Oh, my gosh. That comes on the heels of going to Squid Ink last Sunday after the show, or later that night after the show.
Yeah.
Had an incredible meal there. Had some good eating this week.
I got to look at my phone and see where I ate at this week.
Well, I will go ahead while you're trying to remember where all the 14,000 places you ate. Charlie asked if I had a good week, and yes, I did, Charlie. And here's the main reason.
Well, you seem a little perkier this morning than usual.
Yeah.
He's got good reason.
Thursday, I joined Panini Pete and Gerald Audois from Acadiana Cafe and some of the people from Ed's and Sunset Point. We all got together and we rode out here to the Mobile River where we were the welcome guest of the USS Cincinnati.
Wow.
LCS 20 built at Austell right here in Mobile.
Was that part of the mess, Chef?
It's kind of the thing that he does with that Pete does with mess lords, but mess lords travels to the front basically.
Sure, sure.
They've been to Afghanistan, Iraq. I mean, they've been in the middle of it. They've been in ships out at sea where the storms were going three or four. This was just nice and calm sitting in Mobile, but we got to take over the galley for lunch and feed all of these wonderful troops and. I got to sit down and talk with three of the 70 or so crew on here. And each of us, you know, found some people that we connect and we talked to. And the dude was from L.A., so we talked about L.A. And another guy was from Dallas, so we talked about brisket. And I said, I hear there's a place at Fairhope, hadn't tried it yet, called Texarbama that does real Texas brisket. And he goes, man, I hadn't been home in so long, I'm going to have to try that out. Young lady that was from Memphis, and we talked about the barbecue places up there, and it was just so rewarding. And then we got to tour the ship, which is, Mike, they have a floorboard right there on the front, And he goes, this is our missile deck. So I'm thinking, oh, this is where they load and offload missiles. He goes, yeah, when trouble comes open, this floor opens up and missile launchers come out.
Wow.
And, like James Bond. He goes, the gun on the front, the bullets are 5 inches in diameter.
Wow.
They got a gun that shoots 1,500 rounds in 1 minute.
Mm-mm-mm.
And one of the guys said, it's a ship destroyer. Its job is to cut a ship in half.
Dang.
A lot of technology there.
And these are 18, 19, and 20-year-olds that are doing this job.
That love their country.
That have the most sophisticated technology on Earth. And every one of them is just as professional as they can be and just as polite as they can be. They were treating us like we owed, like they owed us something.
Is that Mike's cell phone?
That's Mike not figuring out.
I said if we were on yet.
I was just so impressed with every young man and young woman that I met on the crew. And the captain slipped me a little challenge coin. I'll have that to remember. That was huge.
I saw that.
And I was just totally impressed, told Pete if he wants to do any more of these. And the thought is we want to start servicing the ships when they come in.
Sure.
And get a couple of chefs together and go cook lunch for them. Because one of the things we heard over and over again was, man, this was so good. The guys in the galley do a great job, but you get tired of it.
Well,
I asked the young lady, I said, how long are y'all out at sea? She goes, sometimes a couple of months. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's not like your cruise to Cozumel.
Right. And so it is. And we did some grilled shrimp po' boys for them. They don't have a fryer on the ship. Everybody's nice and fit.
That makes sense.
But an inquiring mind over here, if I can find it, wants to know, how did you like the actual galley?
It was an incredibly efficient use of space. Mm. I have been in much larger kitchens that didn't have as much stuff in them than that. And I've been in kitchens that size that didn't work anywhere near as functionally as that.
How many crew members on the ship?
They said they had about 70.
Mm-hmm. Why was the Cincinnati in Mobile?
Just to get some stuff touched up on it.
Oh, okay. Over to the shipyard.
Yeah, just get some things over. We weren't at the main Austell thing. We were on down the river a little bit and on down Pinto Island. And it was very cool. We were right across the street from the cruise ship, or I guess across the river. It's a water street, literally. But, and you know, you could see the towers in the background behind the cruise ship. Great view.
I wonder if the Fantasy's repairs have been finished. You know, they had a little problem hitting a lock down at the Panama Canal.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad I was on the one a year before, and we successfully went through.
Now, was this a ship that was built in Mobile?
Yeah. Okay. It was one of the Austell LSTs, and that's a cool boat, man.
Oh, it is. It looks like a stealth.
And you tell people, man, this ship will do 45 miles an hour on the water, and people that aren't used to being on the water are like, 45 miles? That doesn't sound like much. That is kicking it on water.
Sure.
That's 120 on a pavement.
Ain't a lot of boats going to keep up with it.
Right, and this thing's bigger than E.S. Grider Field in Sims, Alabama. It's bigger than a football stadium.
Wow.
A high school football stadium with stands and everything. It's 410 feet long, which means it is 110 feet longer than a football field.
Yeah.
And it just impressive. Everyone on that crew was just a finest example of what an American should be, what a human should be.
Absolutely.
And, you see stuff like that, and you look at the generations that don't go into the military, or the people from the same generation don't go in the military, and it really makes you understand nations like Israel that upon graduation from high school, a 2-year mandatory military service. Because Gal Gadot, who plays Wonder Woman, she's a supermodel, right, and an actress. Did 2 years in the Israeli military, signed up for 2 more in special forces. She actually can kick all the guys' butt on the and just, you know, it makes you say, well, maybe it wouldn't be such a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. And for everybody to give a little something to their country.
And all of the people, you know, we keep sending people to college and just handed them money to go, Pell grants and whatnot.
Lord of mercy.
The only way you get a free education, extended education, do 2 years in the military. Just two. I'm not asking for four.
Just two years.
Because if mom and daddy didn't teach you no discipline, I guarantee you a drill sergeant will discipline you. and turn you into something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad I didn't have to go through all that because I had a drill sergeant for a dad. Hey, you want to text us on the Callahan's text line? 343-0106.
That's it.
Yep.
They like the smoky sauce. But over there in old Memphis, a dry rub ribbit's boss. The folks down in Georgia, they can't pick up their mind. You can give it to them sweet or spicy, and they'll say that tastes all right. And you might think the South Carolinians are just a little bit off. Would you believe their barbecue's yellow with a mustard sauce? Pork shoulder is the cut of choice in Mississippi. And they pride themselves on barbecue that's totally vinegary. In Louisiana, them Cajuns, they like to spice it up. They like to spice it up.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
You're listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu, and I'm Jonesy Jones. You can find me on YouTube, Jonesy Jones Music, also Facebook, Crown Jewels.
You know what would make a great breakfast, don't you?
What's that?
Some Hall's sausage.
That's right. I saw Deborah yesterday.
Did you now?
Yeah, I saw her yesterday down there with Roy cooking. And
oh, okay.
Where you cooked at.
Well, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was set up for my demo, so I spent my demo time putting the grill together and everything and helping the guys from Westminster get set up. And, you know, the grill was there in a box, not ready. And so it took
it
me
was
about,
still in the box when I got when I went by there.
Yeah, it took me about 20 minutes to get it together, and then we're trying to get the tent together. And I looked down, and my demo time's almost done.
Yeah.
So I just helped the guys with Westminster and then cleared out of their way and then went to Serial Killer.
Okay.
And, man, what a meal.
Yeah.
We ate beets and liked them.
Hmm.
Fried beets.
Fried beets?
Yeah. Fried beets. I think they were boiled first.
Where do
and then
people come up with these ideas?
I know. I'd have never thought of frying beets.
We're in the South. We fry everything.
Yeah, but I like my beets with a little onion and just put it in some vinegar and eat it.
Unless you're on one of those LCSs, they don't fry anything.
Yeah, but the sauce was what made it. It was a chipotle honey aioli. It was just fire. The beets were fine. Great application of a beet, but I wanted that sauce. Heather got the Dirty Elvis waffles with peanut butter and bananas and lardons of... bacon that they made themselves from the jowl, not from the belly. If you've never had hog jowl, it's amazing. And let's see, I had duck chiliques, which is tortillas with a spicy orange sauce over them and some pulled duck that was phenomenal. And I got the last duck of the day. And Rick highly didn't know that. Heather didn't let me know until afterwards, or she probably told me and I didn't hear her because I was checking football scores, but I recommended it to the guy who was standing in line next to our table, and he goes, oh, man, you got the last duck. Oh, I'm sorry. And I had already finished mine, or I had given him a chip. It was fantastic. The French bread sticks, those are fire. They're topped with fruity pebbles.
And this was all at Serial Killer?
Yeah, this is all brunch. She got us a bunch of little appetizers and things, and everything was amazing. The bourbon... maple syrup for the French toast sticks had a little bit of star anise in them from China, which was just a really nice little twinge on it. It was an unbelievable meal, and that was our first time going in the mill, which is a food hall.
Yeah.
A food hall, Charlie, it's like the old food courts at the mall, just no mall.
Yeah.
It's just a freestanding building with several different stalls in it, and you go to whichever one you're craving.
It used to be called the Windmill. Now Market. Now it's just called the Mill.
And it was terrific. And Oxtail is also our Ox Kitchen, which is a place I've been hearing a lot about. It's in the same place. Looked at their menu. They got Oxtail on the menu. And Ox Fries. Heather also, not a lover of truffle, loved the truffle tater tots. Those are unbelievable.
Truffle tater tots. That's another thought out of
everything about Serial Killer is very inventive, and some of the foods I would taste would make me laugh because I was feeling their sense of humor in their menu. And I like that. And the street corn grits. Oh, my gosh, those street corn grits.
How did you have enough room to walk out of there?
We did not eat breakfast.
Oh.
And then we walked around Daphne for about an hour and a half.
To work it off a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were starving by the time we got there.
I wanted to give a little compliment to Serial Killer, too, and I've never been there, but I had an opportunity about a week ago. We missed an opportunity to publicize an event that they had done, and that was my fault. I just got buried in some other projects. But I talked to somebody there, Patrick. And I don't know what his role is, but he was not the man who answered the phone. This was on a Saturday, maybe, I called him. I can't remember now. But earlier in the, as the school year was getting cranked up, they had put a bin where people could bring new and gently used children's books because they were trying to collect books for early readers, like the preschoolers.
Mm-hmm.
And they finished with that for now, but they have some other community events coming up, and we certainly hope we have an opportunity to publicize them. But anytime a restaurant or any business, for that matter, gets involved in positive community projects, they should be applauded.
Yep, and let Charlie know, he'll talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, those tater tots I've had twice, and they're
yeah,
they're killer.
Yeah,
they are, and yeah. Just. Unbelievable. Where do these guys like Chris and them come from that just keep coming up with these brilliant combinations?
I mean,
of
do
flavors?
You guys wake up, Stu? Do you all wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and have to, from a dead sleep, and have to jot an idea down beside your
it's
bed?
It's happened before.
What you know? Is?
I've had something come in a dream that I've written down and used
yeah,
later.
Yeah.
I've done that too. Yeah.
Wake up and keep that notepad.
A lot of it. This is why I like working with other chefs, and when I was a musician, I liked it the same way. It's the collaborative process
mm-hmm.
where you bounce ideas off of each other. You're going to come out with far better products than you are, no matter how talented the single individual is, because you've got different points of view that other people see things mm-hmm. from. John Lennon would never have been anywhere near as successful as a solo artist as he was working with Paul McCartney right. and George Harrison and Ringo Starr. It was the collaborative effect of all of their talents that made the Beatles or any band you want, Led Zeppelin, anywhere yeah. along there, that makes it really work. And that's why a lot of times the solo careers don't work out as well. It's because they've just lost 3/4 of their creative process.
Yeah.
Right.
You play off of each other and mm-hmm. you support each other.
Yeah. Right. And I love doing it in the kitchen. And just working with people, man, I like the flavor of that. We did this thing at our restaurant where we had a flavor very similar to that in a salad. Really, we did something that was similar to your salad, but we did it as French fries. And mm-hmm. then you put the ideas together and you come up with a totally different dish.
Absolutely.
And it shows at Serial Killer and another place over there where it shows is Firefly, the taco bar. Is that the right?
Yeah. But you know – I'm the first time I ever heard of grilled Caesar salad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, who ever thought of putting heat
to lettuce?
To lettuce.
Yeah.
And it just changes the whole profile.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to where I do that now. I love doing the grilled Caesar salad.
Well, I got a question about mm-hmm. that, fellas. Mm-hmm. If you're going to introduce something that's totally new, just invented,
mm-hmm.
sometimes by accident maybe, should you offer your customers a little opportunity to sample?
Just about any place will give you a sample of anything you want to try
yeah.
before you order it.
If it's
I've never told a place that said,
new.
I can try that, can I try this sauce? I've never heard anyone go, no, you buy it and, yeah, everyone will let you try everything. All you got to do is ask.
Even in the wine industry.
It's yeah. just like your little problem that you have, Charlie, where you don't want to look like you don't know what you're talking about, so you don't ask questions you don't understand on the menu. Which
yeah, if I have to translate the menu, I have a problem.
Right. Well, and what I said was you would rather be ignorant than look ignorant.
Yeah.
Is the you know, you're – and
the first time I tried to say vichyssoise, I still don't have it right.
But, yeah, just ask questions if you don't know what something tastes like. Is there a sample? Can
yeah,
I taste the sauce?
Sometimes
yeah.
it can sound – the description yeah. makes it sound yeah. really
Now, keep
exciting.
In mind that
yeah.
sometimes if it's a fantastic burger, they can't cut you a single bite of a
sure,
burger
sure.
to come try.
That's understandable.
You could taste components on it. Because if they do that, you just bought a burger.
Yeah.
You know, they have to put together the entire meal.
They can't serve the burger with a chunk out of it.
Right. But, yeah, the sauces, the components that make it up that you're curious about, ask them. And the more than likely, they're going to let you have a sample, if it's possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I can't give you a sample of prime rib.
Oh, come on. I'd be back again and again. Never had prime rib before.
Back in the good old days when the bars around town had happy hour, they used to have free food. Mm-hmm. And to draw you in just so you'll drink.
And a lot of it was salty, if I remember.
Adams used to have prime rib all the time on the bar.
The salty treats encourage you to imbibe. Good old days.
And so do hot foods, and then greasy food counteracts the effects of the alcohol. You can drink more when you're drinking fried stuff. That's why bar food tends to be greasy.
That's a point to remember.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you're still safe to get behind the wheel of a car. It just means
grease or no grease.
Yeah,
that's right. You're
probably a little less likely to toss your cookies for a while.
Hey, when we come back, can I bring up this topic I was telling you about? I called it synchronized serving, and you said it's a continental service?
Yeah, continental service.
Because I think there's some good things about it, but then I want to ask you all from behind the scenes if it creates some problems, maybe.
I don't know. I've never done it. I can foresee where it could, maybe.
Yeah.
343-0106, the Callahan's text line.
Is the text thing working today?
It looks like it is.
Yeah.
Wow.
We need some textual healing, y'all.
Send us a text so we can test it.
I need some magnifying glasses to read those. So small.
Are we finished chatting? We want to hear the singer?
So. I think so.
All right. Somebody who wants me to play pretty clothes that never were mine. But if my dream comes true, the sun.
Butter and egg man, honey.
Oh, goody.
But I'm different. I'm from way down in the South.
That's just what I'm looking for.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All them cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess, their delight. When it gets drunk, start singing all night, drinking wine, spoodyody, drink wine, pop, pop, wine, spoodyody, drink wine,
pop, pop,
wine, spoodyody,
so,
drink wine.
So, Bob's Diner, pass that bottle to downtown, you've been there before, right? Corner of Fat
times.
And Happy?
A couple times.
I want to tell you, man. They do some fantastic food there. I know that you eat there all the time. I don't get the opportunity to eat there as much, but every meal I have had there has just been gangbuster.
Is he still doing the bottomless or endless mimosa?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ten to noon?
Till they close, 3:00.
Mm.
On Saturdays and Sundays. Tony has just turned that whole corner there. He does all the fundraisers with motorcycles and riders,
yeah.
And they had a big one yesterday. And it seems like almost every week he's got something going on, and they're raising money for charity.
Right.
You know, one, it costs a lot of money already to own those choppers. Mm-hmm. These are not motorcycle gangs or anything like that, but it takes money to buy those things. It takes money to maintain them. Mm-hmm. And then they go out and raise money. And they do a great job of raising money for different events and charities and all that.
People in need. Yeah.
Yeah, and, folks, I apologize for my voice, but I've been waking up with a sore throat every morning just about.
Screaming, Tua, Tua, Tua?
No, I didn't. But then, we want to thank Tony at Bob's and the gang down there for being a sponsor of our show.
Absolutely.
And I want to thank Deborah and them over at Hall Sausage sponsor. Mm-hmm. And we certainly want to thank JT and the gang at Callahan's Irish Social Club for sponsoring our text line. So,
hey, Mike.
Yeah.
If somebody wanted to join the fine list of sponsors for this show, and you guys out there in the audience know who you are because you listen every Sunday morning.
That's it.
How can they get in touch and say, sign me up?
Go to our Facebook page.
I want to help keep this show going.
Go to our Facebook.
Pick up the phone and go, Eunice, get me BR549.
No, that's wrong.
But
that's junior samples.
Just go to our Facebook page and shoot us.
And what is that?
Facebook.com/SipAndChew.
Sip and Chew.
And yeah. We get messages all the time, but it's not about sponsoring. But, you know, if you do want to be a sponsor of the show, just do that. Go to our Facebook page.
You'll be surprised how reasonable it is and who you're talking to will surprise.
And you can also shoot us an email at sipandchew@mail.com.
At mail.com.
Yep. Not Gmail, just mail.
Just mail.
M-A-I-L.
We couldn't afford the extra letter.
Hey, can I bring up this topic
real
quick?
Yes, by all means.
Okay. This past Thursday night, it was Thursday night. My son celebrated his 50th birthday. Happy birthday again, Chuck. And anyhow, we went to Felix's. And I got to say from the get-go, no complaint. The sunset was beautiful. The food was outstanding. But there was one issue, and I want to ask you guys from the other side of the dining room table, what may be good or bad about it. And this is synchronized serving where we had 9 people in our party, so there were, I don't know, 6 or 8 servers who came out with platters, and bang, they put them all down on the table in unison. Mm-hmm. And that's a it was nice. Everybody's got hot food at the same time. But I'm wondering, that's got to be awfully labor-intensive. Now, they had a big crowd there for a weeknight, and our appointment was like, our reservation was 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't get our food until after 7:30. And while we had enough people to have conversations and all with, that was kind of a long wait. And I'm just wondering if that's such a labor-intensive practice that you could have gotten away with 1 or 2 servers making 2 or 3 trips between the kitchen and the table.
I don't know, but that would have freed
up some other waiters for other tables.
That's not what Felix wants to do.
Yeah,
Felix wants to do continental service.
I understand all that.
And they do that at Roost Chris, which they own as well. Now, I don't know if they do that at the Bluegill.
I doubt it.
But I would think something like about 45, 50 minutes is reasonable, not an hour and 40.
Well, man, you can't pigeonhole anything on a party that large because – I've had enough of them. There's always one person in every group that makes it hard on the server and the rest of the group.
Mm-hmm. Is it because of the person or because of what they order?
Those are one and the same.
Well,
first off, if you're in a large group like that, you don't special order anything. You order something that's as close to what you can eat as possible and pick around them. But I have seen parties come in and there's 30 people in the party and 27 of them want something special ordered.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you don't do that. If you're in a large group or if you're in a hurry, you don't special order anything. You order it the way it is on the menu. But if any one person special orders in that group, they're pushing your entire group to the end and taking care of the rest of the people.
Okay, well, here's another thought. Like if you're
unless it's something simple like, you know, don't put any onions on that burger.
But sure. But if
most of the time, it's really involved.
If you're going to put on a banquet, let's say for class reunion or something, traditionally you'll only give them 2 or 3 choices to keep the menu more consistent. But I don't know how you would do that in an open restaurant reservation system.
People would riot.
Yeah.
They won't order anything different when they go in, but by God, they want to see a bunch of stuff on that menu when they go in. They may get chicken tenders at every restaurant they go to.
Yeah.
But they want 4 pages of menu like at Cheesecake Factory. Before ordering the chicken tenders.
Well, it wasn't a complaint. Like I said, we had enough family in the group that we kept the
conversation
going.
The other thing to keep in mind at a place like Felix's, a 9-party table, hour and a half, you got out early. That style is you come and spend 3 hours with us.
Yeah.
Don't go there if you're in a hurry.
Well, and
in fact, honestly, if you're in a hurry, don't go to any sit-down restaurant.
Well.
That's not what they're for.
Okay,
but I see your point, though. That was an excessive amount of time. I agree with that.
You're there for the dining experience. You're not there
and
to eat and run.
Their whole thing is to take a while each course to let you talk and mainly to sell you more alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is that business model.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to make it faster.
You'd be proud of me. I had a glass of white Zinfandel to die for.
Oh, my God.
Was it Sutter Home?
No, it wasn't Sutter Home, and I can't remember, but it was.
Charlie, there are so many
particularly sweet.
There are so many other sweet wines out there.
No, that's fine.
That are not blush.
Why do they call it white? That's another show, maybe.
Because the Zinfandel
looks like a blush.
The Zinfandel grape is red.
Yeah,
and they keep the pigments off of it.
Kudos to Felix's. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was fine dining.
Yeah,
it made the a special occasion.
Camp.
I just wondered if that kind of serving is so labor intensive that adds.
It's
to
also the
time.
The preparation of the food that they do is.
Sure,
it's not turn and burn stuff.
And they got to have all them plates ready at the same time.
Right,
you know.
But I will tell you, I don't have a problem with the Continental service. But any restaurant that still goes and sings, pulls the entire staff to go sing at someone's table, I don't want any part of. I don't want them ever getting my money again.
Well, okay.
I have quit doing it when I work at a restaurant. They go, we need people to sing. I'm not doing it. Fire me.
Yeah, we
have. I'm not going to harm my people to go out there and sing a made-up song because you can't sing Happy Birthday. That's $500 if you sing it. Every time you sing it.
There's a royalty on
it? Yes. The family of the man who wrote it,
they
charge restaurants $500 if they want to sing it every time they sing it.
So those of us who thought they were being creative with these other happy birthday, all that,
is
because they don't want to pay the royalty on Happy Birthday.
If you want fast service, go to one of our many fine Mexican restaurants right here, and then if it's birthday, they'll come white whipped cream on your face.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, just have one server cover, and I don't mind coming over and your server sings to you.
Yeah.
But this thing where they pull the entire staff, and I would love to meet the guy who came up with that idea and give him a severe thrashing in the alley.
Well, what used to aggravate me?
All right.
Think about Tuesday night is birthday night. Have you ever been to Original Oyster House on Tuesday night?
No.
It's 40 or 50 people every Tuesday night celebrating a birthday there. That is the birthday place. And Tuesday is the birthday day.
Do you wonder if some of those people might be lying?
Well,
no. That's the best day of the week to get together.
Some of the steakhouses, few of them have already gone to the wayside. But they used to, when they would hear a certain song playing on the music in there, that meant they all had to go to certain part of the restaurant, and they all had to do a little line dance thing, and that used to aggravate me.
Yeah.
That pulled people away from taking care of their customers, and I'm sitting there with an empty glass, waiting on my food, and then when it gets to the table, it's cold.
Mm-hmm. If you want to be treated special on your birthday, you reserve one of these places, like what is the one on Schillinger's, Blue Bunny or whatever it's called, or Chuck E. Cheese, and that's where you go.
Chuck E. Cheese.
If you want to be celebrated by a restaurant staff on your birthday, go to a place that specializes in celebrating you on your birthday.
I had a Chuck E. Cheese. There were 100 kids in there. All of them had runny noses and colds.
Now, Lou Ann's hearing all this, and she's going to take her to Chuck E. Cheese tomorrow night.
Yeah, and
nice knowing you, Lou.
I wonder if that bear or gorilla, whatever, still has any hair on it.
Yeah, and you know, and you were talking about the special order thing, Charlie. One time, I actually had someone go, "Well, I either want the fish fried, but I don't want any grease involved, or I want it blackened, but not at all spicy." Okay, you're getting salt and pepper grilled fish.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's what you're getting. I can't fry it without grease being involved, and I can't blacken it without it being spicy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of things that hang up, man. But that, I have actually had that asked of me.
I got one final compliment for Felix. My son did get
a slice
of complimentary key lime pie.
See, that's how you
with
do birthday.
A sparkler stuck in the top of it.
Yeah, the complimentary dessert.
Did y'all get the Chrissy's? Did y'all drink the Chrissy's at the end?
The Chrissy's?
Yeah, that's a famous drink of theirs.
I did not know that.
Bruce Chris. Invented it?
No. Weren't at Ruth Chris.
Well, they still have Cooper's Chrissy family. There. Cooper family.
Yeah, they own both of those.
Oh,
and they own
I didn't know
and
that.
They own the bluegill.
Yeah,
and they do a fine job.
Has really come along in the past few years.
343-0106 is the Callahan's Irish Social text line. Give us a holler,
and you can
y'all.
Call us there too.
Oh, I'm sure somebody will holler at us.
Or you can drop in at Alice's.
Anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can get anything you want
at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
What up, Mobile? This is Big Daddy Dwayne Thompson with Big Daddy Bomb Barbecue Sauce. I'm on Sip and Chew.
Up in North Alabama. Kicking it out. So food and football and drink go together. In this state, every they time. What'd you eat during Alabama's demolition of Ole Miss yesterday?
We ate stuffed mushrooms. Mm. For those of you who don't know, I've started spending a few nights a week at Le Bichon Wine Bar.
Mm.
And they have a great...
Sampling or serving?
No, serving. I'm
educating them, the masses.
Helping them out with the wine bar and a couple nights a week.
Great.
And
that's a good deal, Mike.
They one thing, it gives me exposure to more types of wines that I'm older now, and I'm not as involved in the wine business like we used to be, and it gives me an opportunity to get my hands on these and sample them. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to.
So, are they coming out with a lot of new wines?
Always. And you know what? There's a lot of wineries closing too. Some wineries have decided to shut down and get into the cannabis business. Mm-hmm. Believe it.
Imagine
or not.
Imagine that.
Yeah, and they've sold their property.
That's good
to,
for everyone.
For their neighboring. Mm-hmm. They sold the property to their neighbor, or another big conglomerate, and they take the money and they go to Colorado, Washington State, and start growing cannabis.
So they, so it's not like they're cutting down all the grape vines.
No, they're not cutting those down because they're going to the states where they can actually do that better, but where they have more liberal laws on stuff like that, and that's sad, but it's good at the same time.
You use that incorrectly. Those laws are not liberal. Those laws are conservative.
Well, that's true.
Because any law that makes a plant illegal does not fall in line with conservative thinking.
Yeah.
Of less smaller government, all of that. So one of the greatest hypocrisies in this country is conservatives who are against the legalization of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that big government is bad, except on this one issue, and that God is the creator of the universe, but he screwed up on this one plant. That's what you're saying.
No.
So that's – no, they're not liberal laws. Those are conservative laws that allow for marijuana.
Let's say lenient. Let's say lenient.
Yeah.
And
I wouldn't even say lenient. I would say long overdue. The research –
yeah, absolutely.
Reason that they have kept marijuana illegal for so long is so you would buy government drugs. And that's what all pills are. They're government drugs. The government makes money off of those.
Mm-hmm. Mike, are you going back to wine? Are you noticing any trends? Like what were the wines?
Right. Well, I've noticed that. Just before this, just working with wine. You know, there was a huge trend of getting into blends, and then there was a trend of getting into Cabernets and Pinot Noirs and blends that are. Being aged in barrels that used to house liquor in them.
And what were those wines out of Australia and New Zealand? Shiraz or something?
Yeah, Shiraz, Syrah. And,
I know, but I'm just saying.
But, I mean, those are long gone. Those are not even popular anymore.
But it was kind of a trend
for
a while.
That
was a trend 20 years ago.
Well.
And right now it seems to be, oh, that's aged in a whiskey barrel? Let me try that.
Yeah.
But it's like white wines, people are getting away. Well, rosés, for instance. Rosés have been very popular. And we'll probably be able to drink rosé all the way up to Christmas because we don't get any cooler weather. And rosé is thought of as a warm weather trend. But Chardonnays, people say, well, I don't like the butter. I don't like the oak. Well, they got steel cast out there, which is what I prefer, and particularly in French Chablis, and that's which is mainly Chardonnay. And the French Chablis, I like it dry. I like it bone dry, actually. Because I want it with my food.
Right.
And if you got wine hanging around in your back of your palate, on the end of your taste buds there, it doesn't complement the food at all.
Right.
Because you want the wine to finish and you want the food to show on its own.
Right.
So.
Or the marriage of the food.
Or
the
marriage of the two, yeah.
Which is just phenomenal when you get it right. Which
when
is why.
Get it right.
And some people struggle getting it right. And that's why you can hire Mike and I to come into your home, and he'll pair a wine with my menu.
There you go.
Yeah. Same way as advertising with us. Just go to our Facebook page or send us an email at sipandchew@mail.com. Tell us how many you want to feed, when and where, and we'll throw a number at you and we'll figure something out.
Have you set a practical limit on how many guests?
5,000.
As many as they want.
Yeah. But we can always hire people to help.
Who would not want two big food and wine celebrities to come to their home and cook for them?
That's right. You be available to sign autographs.
See, if you're seeing us on Facebook, you see how big I am. So, two big celebrities.
And I played high school football in the 80s, so I must be large.
I played it in the 70s.
Yeah. I thought you meant,
yeah, but everybody was tiny then.
I thought you meant big as in your fame and fortune have spread across the land.
Well, that's what we're working toward.
Oh, okay.
I will tell you the generational change. You talked about playing in the 70s. I played in the 80s. My brother was the starting center at Mary Montgomery in 73, 74, that era. And I think he went about $1.55. I was the starting center in 85, and I went $2.37. That's the change in the generation, that 10-year period. I can only imagine what it's like on the field with those monsters now. When you got guys that were bigger than I was in high school that run faster than the fastest wide receiver we ever played against.
There was some guy in a game yesterday that was 6'3" or 6'4", and he weighed 315 pounds.
That's a little guy.
But these guys are going to pay
for
it.
The ball carrier would just get behind him and have safe passes.
They're going to pay for it when they get older.
Well, sure.
Well, they're going to get paid for it until they get older. Yeah. So there's that. I mean, that's the trade-off. That's why football players make as much money as they do, because 10 years into their career, they're a 70-year-old man.
I did some work with Kenny Stabler when we did his wines. He struggled with his knees and his legs.
And I know Namath was – his knees swung both ways.
And Bob Baumhauer, great guy, big restaurateur.
Giant hands.
God, I remember the first time – all I could shake was two of his fingers. His hand was so big.
My hand just got buried in there.
Yeah. But, you know, they're struggling with their achy bones and stuff as they've gotten older. And that's just part of the game.
And they were from an era, too, where – there was no sports medicine. You didn't have Dr. James Andrews up at UAB. Gale Sayers is a classic example. He had a 4-year career in the NFL, probably wouldn't have been the greatest running back of all time. He tore his ACL. That ended his career.
Yeah.
Now, I played with guys in high school who had torn each ACL and went on to college.
Yeah.
So, you know, the era is different, and that's why you see a Tom Brady – quarterbacking into his 40s, because no one's ever allowed to touch the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, whereas poor Archie Manning. Oh, man.
Boy, whoever that is calling in right now, wish you'd called a little
earlier.
Maybe
they're calling for Bill's show.
Maybe, because we only have 30 seconds left.
So, well, folks, we want to thank our sponsors again. Bob's Downtown Diner, Hall's Sausage.
Oh, I love Hall's Sausage.
And Callahan's Irish Social Club.
Yeah. And we'd love to have your business join the sponsors.
Yeah, you know, if you want to join in and be one of our sponsors, please.
We're not above begging, are we?
How do you think Mike got a winner like Luann? He wasn't afraid to beg. Please,
I've been meaning to ask you that, Mike.
Folks, get out there, support local, be local, buy local.
Happy birthday, Luann, and don't forget to provolone.
Provolone.